Okay, Parsha Shlach. So the Akeda is the first one over here, and the Akeda is speaks about what it is that Eretz Yisrael has, what it doesn't have, what is it that they were upset about, and what's the mile of Eretz Yisrael. Ume'ata kvar yadana ma'hoysa chata samaragnum ha'shachachem ro'a gedoyla. Umacharia afagol ha'sha'olofon yis'ala, v'gzor alem gzir l'yuchu l'chapra. Now he says we'll understand what exactly is the chata maragnum. Kilechura, he says, ma'ichwaz ha'gashbroch yusuf eretz toiv v'rchov eretz ovas v'al dvash. Halo yi'ika toivis az manis, umitim olvom zelista kal yom l'shmer v'kol yonoda b'rechav, v'nozim kris ha'vodis ha'doma, the shores b'shem Hashem, olam lefan kliyomim. Now let's look at the inyan the way it sort of appears to us. Kodesh Baruch Hu said, "I have a great, fantastic country for you people." Klal Yisrael didn't like it, didn't believe it, didn't care for it, and they said no favors. So where is the real aver? So yes, there's an element of not trusting Kodesh Baruch Hu, but tachlis, they seem to eschew a world of comfort. They just wanted to sort of stay in the midbar. Ella, she emes aboro kiloi oisa mazu. It wasn't the nice country that they didn't want. Ella azves Hashem nirzas toish Yisrael asom nafsho mechaim amubolam v'musharim amusernam adei teira v'zoi saaretz akdoisha. Demis is what they really were nimas was HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There are three matonis for a person to go to Olam Haba, Teretz or Chayim Haba. V'nezeru ocha mimalos elachayim anafshim, v'shom v'fim lonucho lalos, kein cheftzom lalos dereshes mishchus v'atzis achayim. What they did not want about Eretz Yisrael is they did not want to come to a place where things are restricted. So Eretz Yisrael is a place that is different than other Umos HaOlam, and therefore that's what they didn't like about it. And he'll explain exactly. V'omnom, ha'mo'usharim yeshua v'kol v'chfeitzon l'azirus v'ar Hashem, omru, olo'i na'le v'yash no'iso ki yochol nuchola, ki hei ma'sha'oysi ruach acheres imo malach Hashem. It was Yikolov and Yeshua, who they did want that type of life. Limoy sachaim aprutzim abilti mukbolim yolitcham vagbolos atoyev aretz azoyis loveretz atzachaim. They wanted aretz osachaim. Al ze amar b'divasheni toyev aretz meoid meoid. They said Eretz Yisrael is toyev aretz. What does it mean? Omru sheroy lekol sholem lahoides b'toyev aretz mitzar hagbolas chayeho kelazei b'mes toyev meoid meoid. What's nice about Eretz Yisrael is that it has some sort of restrictive framework. It's not Gashmius Belis Soif. It's a dag of Gashmius that's framed within Ruchnius. V'lochein yovi oisonu v'oma im chofetz b'an Hashem yesu amim v'lochein yovi oisonu eretz hazois enosonu eretz avos chol dvash. V'unyen ha-sipog nishan nezik. So he explains, zavos chol v'dvash doesn't mean that it's something that is schmaltz. In other words, the normal pshat, zavas chol v'dvash, we learn is, you know, sort of a metaphor for luxus, for gashmius, whatever it is. No, he says, v'inya sipu kanisha nezek moshi chibur hadvash acholov u'mozen shal yazik loichlin. So he says, he brings a pasuk, says, you eat chema and dvash when you have given up. When you've given up on bad and chosen good. What it means is as follows. It's not so minor, but let's say I'll be Kabbalah. And you know, I guess the way they thought also was the two macholim, dvash and cholov, represent a certain element of midas adina, midas rachmim. Honey is sort of a brownish color, a reddish color, sharper taste. Milk is soft, bland, white. And those two, when they balance each other, that's healthy. So it means a country that is poor, a desert, does not produce a ruchnistika nation, but very hard. The need, if your basic needs are not met, a person doesn't function, and also drives a person to do things that are not right. On the other hand, if a person wallows in gashmias, it's also very hard. Let's take a very simple mashal. A person who hasn't eaten doesn't have concentration power to sit and learn. A person who's overeaten does not have concentration power to sit and learn. A person who is struggling with poverty has a hard time ruchnias. A person who's wallowing in luxury has a hard time ruchnias. The ideal situation for a person to function in the world of ruchnias is through a balance of different inyanim. So Eretz Yisrael is a country that gives us what we need, but not without boundaries. And that's an ideal mix for ruchnias. And it says, V'yitochen kalkein tira akosuz da'atoy b'chol ha'vekoymois u'bi'aru ro'el kavrasu ha'shama ach v'ashem o'tiroi d'batem o'tiroi. So the reason why these people were called rebelling against HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we may have called them trusting, but rebelling, why? And the answer is because a person who wants an unfettered life of luxury, it's because he wants Hashem out of the picture. HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't reside in a framework where it's all gashmis all the time. So the person is be'etzem, in a sense, rebelling against wanting to be with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that's what Klal Yisrael is doing there. It's very, very interesting. When people sometimes corner you with a phrase that has different meanings, a person comes along and says he's an extremely ardent Zionist. And you can't tell me that's bad, because the Torah is full of Yisrael and Zion, all that. That's unlimited in the Torah. So the answer is yes, of course. So obviously wanting at Yisrael is very, very important. The answer is yes. But what is at Yisrael? And the answer is at Yisrael, to us, the answer is at Yisrael is the ideal setting be mekayim Torah mitzvahs. To us, Eretz Yisrael without Torah mitzvahs has no value whatsoever. It has a value, but we believe people live there. Bez Hashem, there's a ruach that will be mekayim of them. Fine. That the kedusha of Eretz Yisrael will have hashpah on them. That we also believe. But believing it as a value in its own right, and it's true. Also, people will, as long as they're in Eretz Yisrael, where you have an overwhelming majority of Jews and Akramaric goyim. That also makes sense. But again, if you talk about Eretz Yisrael, what is the value of Eretz Yisrael? And the answer is, it is the only place where we can fully be mekayim Torah mitzvahs. It's nageya to the mitzvahs, at least for Eretz, but it's nageya much more in what the country offers us. So Eretz Yisrael is not going to be the most luxurious land, but it'll be a land where the Gashmias provides the appropriate backdrop for Ruchnias. Just like, let's give a simple example. If you're looking for chairs in a Beis Medrash, so hard wooden benches of the old days, it's tough to sit on, and it's stairs. Overstuffed armchairs are very, very nice. They will not produce more learning, they produce a lot less learning. You need something which gives you the comfort you need, but then the tzur of the chiz is not for compensating. A fascinating, someone who says this pshat here, is the Nitziv, says almost the same exact pshat. The Nitziv says that in every country, as you sink, the more gashmias it is, the more you have a tendency to sink into the gashmias and move away from ruchnias. Eretz Yisrael has a very different madrega, and Eretz Yisrael, a person is able to is able to live a gashmias life and still not sink into it. Okay, the next piece is Sor Tzilom, and there's a famous Ramban Obin, Rabbi Amichai elaborates a bit and explains it, about the inyan of that shadow on a Shaina Rabba. Sor Tzilom Alem. So the Pashup Shad is that sail is something that protects. It hangs over something and protects it. Magina b'chayskom. Sheyem shabem mesut. Dabacha. Tzilu shal mokum sor malem. Lashon Rashi. Rabbi Avrom amak ki tzilom mogin v'tzino ashen tzela l'alchamim. Tzilu means it's a something that is like a armor that protects it. Yom k'nofel patan lev yikol mokum v'tzino v'koyv l'cholitz l'lochim v'inu yavim v'yish. It means they will not take, so tzilei means they will not no longer pick up an armor, a shield to fight against us. So it's an expression, they won't fight against us. Fine, that's the Rashi. Rabban says, Ritoch shiyom zakosu, l'masha noida, ki b'lei l'achoysim yotzelo sheshana 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 hi. There's a Maseiris that on the night of a Shaina Rabba, there is no shadow for the person who's going to die that year. The kach yomah kvar sar tzilom aleim shenigzal emisa. Hashem itonu kuhu hasheichem b'kirbeinu selisim tloyes eni kol roya al kein al tira. So it's a way of saying that they are doomed. They did not have, the moon didn't cast a shadow on them. Shana rabba and b'meila they're doomed. Now, the Rabbi Bechai will explain a bit. Rabbi Bechai a lot of times explains the Ramban. Ramban Zal Pirish Sot Simalem Shusa Tsel Mal Roshami Mashidua, Kibalela Hoysan Golosha Shana Rabba, Yim Khofal Bias Oilam, Lay Motzit Sel Rosh Mishotlam Sashanahu. The significance of a Shana Rabba is it's the 26th day of from Bias Oilam. 26, by the way, is the Gematria of Yud Kei Vav Kei. That's why it's a special day. And on that day, there is no Tsel for the person who's going to die that year. So the shame Yudke Vavke represents existence, and on the day of Ashayna Rabba is when that comes, when that midah comes to fore, and therefore the person ceases to exist then. That's the what he adds in Pshat. Okay, so now he explains, how do we understand this? Lemayis says that this is kind of weird. What does a shadow of the moon have to do anything? How do we understand it? What's the understanding of it? So ben shir adam behema v'oifetz even ois v'asada nivnesha oir Hashem esreich aleim ba v'yoyed lematet v'lom eshusam. V'lachein ein koyach Hashem esreich tzilam al nitcham v'tzilam. So he says a very fascinating insight. The sun is the strongest, most powerful force in the Bria. Yet, even the tiny ant has a place in this world. Noticeably, that the sun, it casts a shadow of some sort. Anything that takes up space in this world casts a shadow. That means HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave every Nivra a makom in the world. And the Nivra, it has his makom, and the sun cannot intrude on that makom. So every time I cast a shadow, it's a statement. Despite the fact that the sun is so overwhelmingly grand, and despite the fact that I'm insignificant, my little space cannot be touched. And you find a lot of expression like that in different places, like oisekina b'maisa b'reishis. Things have their space, and nothing has a right to overstep their space. That's like the music of make kina b'maisa b'reishis. You're distorting what each person has. So ein malchus negas b'malchus habata k'mo l'nima. Everything is apportioned a certain place and time, and nothing can intrude, not even the sun. And if a person is missing that shadow, it means he no longer casts a shadow in this world. He no longer has a metzias yet. The sun goes right through him. And why is the moon more of a than the sun about this? The fishahi memuna al kobal echaim shavishpolim yochachar mechka. It's because the moon is considered to be the king over anything in this world. Then the Ramban says a second shot. So the first shot Ramban said is the shadow that's cast on a shiny rabba. Oy, Yirmaz the Sar Malach. A second pshat is we talk about the Malach, the Sar. She'ein Uman Efelas Reif Asar Shal Tchila. Everything that happens to an Uma filters its way down. It has to happen on a higher level, and it keeps coming down to this to this world. And therefore, once you see the Sar is gone, it's just a question of time till everything else is gone. It's like when you cut off the roots, the tree might stand, but not much longer. So here also, when the sar is gone, it'll still, it'll out of inertia, the nation will still function, but it's on its way out, it's on its way to dry up. Okay, Furish with Daniel, he says, Yoimar, Kvar sar akoch shavetzulich ha-goyim, Hashem mashpul oisav itonu al-kein al-tiro. They said, Medish Rav also, v'nos ha-ksolim el-tzor umes ha-melach shalehem, so I came out still on umes for skatzim alkan v'kam sachir. So basically, he's saying pshat. So it's third pshat. The first pshat is the different lashonis of a shield and so on. The second one is this chosim. Third one is the sasha mala. Now Rabbi Lechai comments on this. Dani tama lomu hutzich haloshen azeh loyma sotzim alem shein tano kikir shasem etana fe loy sotzim alem en lira mehen. So he doesn't understand this third pshat. What does it mean that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is, we're going to win because their sar is gone and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is with us? If HaKadosh Baruch Hu is with us, does it make a difference if their sar is there or not? I mean, what does it mean? Aval nocha b'einai kiyoyma ein lechem liyiro min ama k'nayinim lo'im asorim shalahem. What he's saying is not that they're destroyed, but he's saying, Loi mina am, you're not to be scared of the Knainim, Usham al Tiro. Loi mina sorm, Usham al Tiro. Benosin tam le kolechad bechad. And then he gives a reason why each one of them, there's no reason to be scared of. Shlo yoras ama aretz, they shouldn't be scared of the nation living there, Kilach menu heim, the fish at so, Tzil maleim. Koychem akoshesh mospach dosu mimenu kvaris talak imala. So you know that you can defeat them. The question is, what about the Sarim? He's telling him, don't be scared of the Sarim. Secondly, he says, why are you worried about the Sarim Lamala when HaKadosh Baruch Hu is with us? So the Sar Tzilim doesn't mean we've gotten rid of them and now we don't have to be scared of them. Adarabah. What he's saying is, listen, as far as that's concerned, is Sar Tzilim. You don't have to worry the physical nation. But, and then as far as the Malachim go, you have HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I have an interesting deal with Rabbi Mechaya. Rabbi Mechaya says like this. Klal Yisrael was scared of two things. We were scared of the physical nation. They've got weapons and it's strong and they're, you know, they're entrenched. And we're scared of the Sasha Milo. So he told them, you don't have to be scared of them because Sartzilam and so on. You don't have to be scared of the Sar Shalmala because HaKadosh Baruch Hu was with us. So, I mean, if the Rabbeinu Mechaya is so frum, and he asks a question in terms of Bitochen, I'm going to be talking that we have HaKadosh Baruch Hu with us, so what do we care about everybody else? So why don't you use that same teretz of Hashem with us for everybody else? And I think the pshat is like this. In far as the physical nation goes, that's there, the Knainim, the Yevusim, whoever it is, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants Olam HaTeva to function. And if that nation is strong and they're on a roll, we need to be scared of it. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants the world to run Alpi Derech HaTeva. And that's very valid. On the other hand, When it's negia to Akarish, what's negia to Malachim and to the Sar, okay, that's that we have Akarish Baruch Hu. I think so, because in the world, once you left the world of Teva, and now you're addressing the world that's supernatural, then what's the point? You have Akarish Baruch Hu there. There's something I'd like to bring out with this, which is counter what people normally would react. A person has a difficulty. It's a medical issue, there's a prognosis issue, whatever. Now, there are three areas. One area is to do the shtadlus tivis that's needed and necessary. A second area is to daven HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Leib Shalom. And another area is skulas, brachas, kameis, the supernatural. So the Welt thinks that the most frum thing to do is to leave go of the ishtavlos tivis and to be oisik in the other two, in the brachas, the kameis, and the skulas, and also HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's the opposite, I think. In as much as HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants the world to run with the Olam HaTeva, so then I need to go and do things up in Derech HaTeva. I need to go to appropriate medical, listen to whatever they can counsel. I need to do the normal financial due diligence, v'chulu v'chulu. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants. That is a makom for, except for Reb Shimon ben Chaya or whatever. Davening HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants. The schoolers and the kamais and everything else, manushach. If you're talking about the ruchnias, it's go to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If you're talking about gashmis, not gashmis. Rabbi Moshe Shapiro's kind of brachas, Rabbi Tatz told over the story at the Shleishim. He's a doctor, Akiva Tatz. And there was a woman in Yerushalayim that was having a hard time giving birth. And one of the schoolers that are popular is to drink mother's milk. Dr. Tatz told over at Moshe Shapiro, you know, kind of apologetically said, you know, I gave it a mother's milk. It's a skula, and he says it also has a lot of logic. It has some logical basis for it because there's a lot of hormones in the milk. And Moshe Shapiro was not a big chassid of these things, and he told him in this sharp way, if you're talking about the hormones, then a small pill has more hormones than a gallon of the mother's milk. So you use a small pill. If you're using it as a skula, a rabbit's foot is a much better skula. Stick to rabbit's feet. Basically, his point was, as a doctor, this to go with the Derech HaTeva is appropriate. If you're going not with Teva, or you're fulfilling as much as you need to fulfill the Derech HaTeva, then stick to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Leave the other stuff out. The other stuff has no mark. I think that this is quite meduyak in the Rabbi Nebuchadnezzar here. When the way the Rabbi Nebuchadnezzar is explaining that, you know, there were two rebuttals. If you talk about the nation is a defeated nation already, and he was sort of giving a Derech HaTav, like a description of that. If you're talking about the Sarim and all the things the Malah, that Yabba Kadosh Baruch. Okay, so next week, unfortunately, it will not be here. So we're not going to have the Shem next week. Bez Hashem, I hope in 2 weeks from now. Okay, a good one.